A boat gently rocks beneath you, the waves lulling you side to side. A haunting voice calls to you on the cool sea air. You reach out. You've been lured in by the Siren Sisters. Hello, my name is Audrey, and my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Ash, my pronouns are she, her.
And this week, we're rating and reviewing Une Sirène à Paris, A Mermaid in Paris.
Wow.
Wow. Do you want me to give you the brief synopsis so that we could go point by point?
Yeah, give us some stats and just get the basics. We'll start there.
So, I think this movie was released in 2019 overseas, and it was released June 22nd of 2020 in international markets. It is directed by Matthias Malzieu, who also directed... Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart. That's the movie. It's an animated one. I didn't see it. It seemed bad. if I can just find their names one more time. Wow, they don't have the lead actors' names in their credits. Like
let
in
me
the
look
brief
at the poster.
Right? Interesting. Interesting here.
Nicholas Duvachel.
Perfect.
And Marilyn Lima are our two main actors.
Hell yeah. Applause. It seems like this movie was recast at some point because there are old promo posters with two different actors on the front with different names on the poster. So we were trying to solve that little mystery, and I'm going to tear my hair out trying to actually figure it out.
The only indication we have is that one poster. It's in English. It says A Mermaid in Paris, a film by... the director's name, and then two different actors listed and two different actors on the front, but we can't find anything else about it, so we're confused.
I'm over here googling the French word for recast.
Scandal.
This French site that I've found reviews on are definitely more in the range that I would rate this movie.
The French agree with us.
Yeah. For once in our lives, the French and I were on the same page.
We're aligned.
Yeah, the press gave it like 2.6 stars overall. There's like 1,000, almost 2,000 reviews from spectators, and it's averaging at like 2.5 stars. And the brief synopsis is a heartbroken crooner, Gaspard, had sworn himself never to fall in love again. As for Lula, a pretty siren, she only has singing to defend herself from men making their hearts race until they explode. When the Seine floods and deposits Lula at the foot of the Flower Burger, the barge cabaret where Gaspard sings, it's a mini tsunami that will upset their existence. He, the man who has suffered from having loved too much, and she, the creature who has never known love, will learn to know each other and sing with one voice, ...
I don't think that happens, but...
What would you say happens in this one?
Well, they definitely meet each other. And she definitely can sing and explode men's hearts, which, you know, slay.
Yeah, that is a slay. It's a work, even, I would say.
I guess she's never known love. I mean, she talks about her mom, but whatever.
Right. She's never known romantic love because she's apparently the only mermaid left. And no human men can survive interacting with her.
Yeah, she's biologically, she just kills men. She can't help it. I would assume.
Yeah, we'd love to see it. When this movie opens, I was like, oh, cool, a cute little animated opening credits. Love to see that.
Yeah, it's like a paper stop motion type opening. It's pretty cute. I was like, okay, this is gonna be whimsical and fun.
Yeah, my hopes were high. at that mm-hmm. point. I don't know why, but and then the real stuff starts to happen. So Gaspard and his dad work in the in a barge cabaret. There's like a secret password to get down to the fancy singing lounge part of the cabaret, and it's just full of quirky stuff.
It's like, called the Flower Burger.
The Flower Burger.
For some reason.
Why? Why?
Do they serve burgers? I don't... Is it some French thing I'm not understanding?
I have no idea.
The Flower Burger.
It's a slow night for tips, and Gaspard and his dad are like, oh, man, people just don't come out like they used to, I guess. And then the dad's like, well, I'm probably going to sell this boat, so you're going to move on? And Gaspard's like, no way. I'm holding on for dear life because my mom used to work here too.
Yeah, he's like, how could you, Dad? I'm betrayed.
He's so betrayed.
And he got like $2 in tips that night for the whole night.
So funny.
Like, bruh, you're not going to make it.
Like, how does he afford his apartment? Slash all the quirky things in his apartment.
Yeah, his apartment is like filled with small toys.
Knickknacks.
And just like knickknacks. Yeah, like a child's room, which I guess is explained later. They talk about, Rossi explains it about the history. Like, what were they called? The Surprisers?
The Surprisers.
They like made toys and put them around Paris for some reason.
Oh, just like for little fun gifts.
Yeah, so maybe that's why he has children's toys all over his apartment.
I guess. It's really hard to tell, honestly. Well, and at that point, I was like, blah, 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 blah. I was not paying attention.
No.
Oh, boy. So some of the drunk patrons, like, they leave the barge and they hear mysterious singing. They're on the Seine, which is a river that goes to the ocean in Paris, I assume. Question mark.
Sure, yeah. Geography is not my strength.
You know, I've never really cared. But you see them like go into the water hypnotized, and I just assume they were dead at that point.
Yeah, same.
We do see that man again later. Alive.
We do?
Yeah. He's dying, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he was just dead.
Me too. I was like, wow. She keeps singing her little siren song, and men keep walking into the water. Gaspard finds her washed up on the sidewalk because the Seine flooded. And he's like, oh, wow. A totally normal woman with a tail.
Yeah, he doesn't question it.
Does not at all. And I think it's because of the Surprisers? Question mark?
Sure, because he's a whimsical boy.
He was raised in whimsy.
Yeah, he was raised by, what's the word I'm looking for? Bohemians.
Yeah.
It's living really tragic the life of love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because his mom and his dad were, like, super duper in love. And that's, you know... Sure.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you mashed up Moulin Rouge and Wes Anderson vibes as a whole and Guillermo del Toro.
And Amelie.
And Amelie.
Amelie.
And Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If you put all those movies together, that's the vibes.
It's quirky out the fucking wazoo.
Yeah. Like quirky to a fault, some would say. Like a pick me girl, maybe.
Oh boy. Yes. Correct. It is beautifully shot. Like, I was enjoying the colors.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything wrong with, like, the editing itself other than, like, the content that was in the movie.
Right. Yeah, it looked cute and high quality.
Mm-hmm. The music was a little eh for me.
There's just a random song would play and I'm like, is this a pop rock ballad? What's going on?
Yeah, and, like, all of the music had to be, like, recorded afterwards in English, so it's, like, it doesn't sound like they're ever in the room that they're in.
Yeah, the dub was kind of odd.
It was not good. It was not a good dub, I would say.
But he just, like, finds her just sitting on the cobblestone road. Like, she's just, mm-hmm. like, laying on her side, perfectly laid out.
Mm-hmm. Her tail looked great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's talk about her tail. It looked good. It's it looked like a silicone tail. Mm. And, like, all the scales were, like, actual texture. And it was, like, a light blue color.
Ugh, I loved it. With like, her silvery white hair and the light blue color. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, me as a mermaid.
Yes. And she had very pale skin and giant eyes. She was a haunting looking woman. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like, she's beautiful, obviously. But mm-hmm. haunting is correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So he, like, grabs her and is like, this woman needs help. And
he's just dragging her around Paris. Like, in the streets.
He's trying to take her to a hospital.
No one is even looking at them. Everyone's just bustling along.
Yeah.
And no one gives a shit.
No, he can't hail a taxi, though. So he finally is able to hail down, like, a little cabbie driver. You know those guys that, like, do rides on bikes in the downtown parts of cities? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like a cart. They always have
the boombox.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like that, but, like, Parisian and motorized.
Yeah, it had, like, I guess it was a little motorbike. It had, like, tassels on it.
Yeah. So he's able to trade this man his motorized cart for a pair of roller skates.
Yup.
Which, for me, was like, that's his livelihood, probably.
Right.
That's clearly a taxi. He's not making
any money off these roller skates now.
No, but I guess he can get home? Question mark? I think he stole it from him and he realized he couldn't drive it with his, like, roller skates on, and that's why he took them off and gave them to the man.
That would be difficult.
Yeah, so he takes her to the hospital. We get this weird vignette of a doctor at the hospital and her boyfriend who are outside, like, being super duper in love.
Yeah, really weird. Like, we just kind of cut to them out of nowhere. And they're, like, flirting and, like, kissy-kissy. And... No, it wasn't.
I for a split second... Okay, it's a white man with a beard. For a split second, I was like, this isn't the same guy, right?
No. The first two guys were, like, sailors or something, maybe? Mm,
I think
they came
think
out of so. The bigger flower bigger.
Yeah, the bigger.
But yeah, this guy's just like a nurse and his doctor girlfriend. And for some reason, we find out that she's pregnant.
She could be pregnant.
She was throwing up. And so he's like, oh, we are pregnant. I don't think he had a French accent, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Did he?
No, I don't think
he did.
I think in my mind, I'm like, well, everybody had a French accent.
No one did. France. Nobody did. But he was so excited. And he, like, knelt down and, like, kissed her stomach. He was like, oh, we're going to have a baby. And we're like, okay, I guess. That never comes up again, by the way.
No, sure doesn't. We it's in there so we know that they super duper love each other. And so she goes back inside. One of her patients is, like, in cardiac arrest and he's delirious and the nurse has never seen anything like it. So the doctor goes to tend to him and the guy stays outside to finish his French cigarette. Gaspard pops up in his little buggy and he runs inside to try and get somebody to come out and help her. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Or like a gurney.
He goes to check her in.
Yeah. And while Gaspard is inside trying to check her in, the nurse goes over and he's like, hey, you good? And he tries to slap her awake and she immediately does her little siren song on him and he, like, gets dizzy.
Comes in his pants?
Stumbles in. Yeah, it looks like he jizzes in his pants.
I thought he had a heart attack, but Audrey was like, that's not what happened. I was like, oh, wait, you're right.
It looks like he orgasms and just sits in his pants. Apparently, his heart is beating faster and faster until he dies.
Yeah.
Which would be more accurate to say Ashley is correct.
We're both right.
In terms of the movie.
Yeah.
So the nurse goes inside and she's kind of in her little cart just hanging out. Gaspard's getting nowhere with the nurse who's a big asshole.
Yeah, she's like, I need a health card or something. Mm-hmm. I just some universal healthcare thing that we don't understand.
I know. Yeah. I need your health card. I can't help you without a health card. And he's like, this is an emergency. She's like, I truly don't give a shit. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And he accidentally leaves his family heirloom pop-up book at the counter.
He sure does. His family heirloom pop-up book. Like you do.
Oh,
that you carry around with you everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just something that you have and that is normal and not super duper fucked up and weird.
Yep.
So he runs back outside and he's like, well, I have to help this woman. And if I can't bring her here, I'm going to take her to my apartment.
Makes sense to me.
Just as good as a hospital, IMO. Yeah,
the same.
So he takes her home. The nurse guy is like sitting in the waiting room in the hospital and he's like, oh boy, I feel so weird. And the doctor comes back out and she's like, my love, what's up? And he's like, eh, I'm dying. I love you. Goodbye. And he like passes out and she gets him help. And I think it's somewhere in that jumble where we see one of the guys who just walked into the river. In, like, he's one of her patients, and mm-hmm. he dies, and she sees it happening to him, and he dies. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. He's talking about, like, that voice. I've never heard a voice like that. Mm-hmm. And he dies.
Croaks. Gaspard is back at his apartment. He put the mermaid in the tub. He gave her a t-shirt. She's chilling. He cooked her some fish. They're having a good time. She's worried.
Yeah, she wakes up and she's in the tub and she immediately tries to use her mermaid magic on him to burst his heart. And he's just like unfazed. Mm-hmm. It does not affect him at all. Mm-hmm. She's like staring at him with her glowing eyes. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, do you want some fish sticks? Are you good? Then she just stops because she's confused why it's not working on him.
She's like, are you good? So I really liked the effect of her eyes glowing. I thought it looked good. Like everything that they did with the mermaid and the effects, I thought they did really well. And I was like, wow, if only they had changed a lot of all of it.
The story.
everything about the story. If only they had changed that and kept the rest of this.
Yeah.
She's mostly fine. He kind of bandages her up. I'm going to skip forward.
Sure. Yeah.
Because...
it doesn't matter.
No, it does not. Gaspard has a nosy neighbor who, like, flirts with him.
Yeah, and she's very forward.
Yeah, she's flirty and she's, like, she knows all about his love life and she's in his business all the time. She happens to come over. Well, no, she intentionally noses. She's, like, being nosy. And she breaks into his apartment with his spare key. Yes. And she finds the mermaid and she's like, wow, you're the girl Gaspard brought home. And she's like, I guess I am. And she's like, let me tell you all about his love life. He's had 44 yeah. girlfriends or something.
She's like, what a cool mermaid costume. So anyway.
Yeah. Nonplussed. Like, yeah. But apparently she's a part of the Surprisers, which is that secret stupid group.
Sure. Yeah. So whimsical. Open to anything.
Mm-hmm. But she's all like, oh yeah, Gaspard is like super over love. He like hates love. He's not cool with it. And Gaspard's like when they were talking, he tells her like, oh yeah, no, I can't fall in love because I am done with love. And she's like.
He says like my heart is calloused to love or something like that. I was like, oh my God, that's why she can't burst his heart open. He can't fall in love.
Oh my God.
Who could have known?
Oh no.
The first man to ever not be able to fall in love.
Oh, I guess. Is he? Interesting.
Side eye.
Oh my gosh. I don't like men. Anyway.
Men are stupid and I don't respect them.
I love that audio. So Rossi gives the mermaid the lowdown and she teaches her how to smoke cigarettes. And then fucks off.
Yep. She just leaves.
Mm-hmm. I think Gaspard is running around trying to find the family heirloom pop-up book that he lost. He, like, goes to talk to his dad, and he's like, Papa, I lost this. I'm so upset. And he's like, the dad is like, who cares? It's a book. Like, we've enjoyed it for now. Like, move on. And Gaspard's like, no, I can't move on. Bleh. And his dad is like, well, I've sold everything. I'm preparing to sell everything. I'm sending this weird voiceogram box to your house because you want it so much. And here, have another quirky thing. I think Gaspard continues to run around. And then we see the doctor begin her descent into madness.
Yeah, somehow she, like, needs to find out how her boyfriend died, and also somehow connects it to Gaspard and the mermaid girl. She doesn't know she's a mermaid yet, but through a series of events, I don't care that I'm going to totally just skip to the events right now.
Here's what it is, though. She just goes to the receptionist and is like, hey, did you see anything weird last night when my boyfriend died? And the receptionist is like, yeah, this guy came in and he was talking all this weird nonsense and he left this stupid book here. And she takes it and is like, all right, I guess I'll just try and find who this book belongs to. And she finds like the flower beguile in there.
And on her way, though, just like in the street, she finds a couple scales and some blue blood.
Oh, yes.
And is like, oh, a clue. And I'm like, how did you know that was connected in any way to what you're looking for?
I mean, I guess it's weird, but like...
Sure.
Yeah.
And then she like takes it to the biologist at the hospital and he's like, this is a creature we've never seen before. <It's>...
What? He has symptoms we've never seen.
He's a mystery. And so, like, she goes on a hunt, I guess, to figure out the mermaid.
Yeah,
I don't know. This story makes no fucking sense.
She's on a warpath. She's had, like, two patients die because of a mysterious voice. And I guess she just assumes it's a mermaid?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways. back at Gaspard's apartment.
Yeah, back at his apartment. It's on fire. So his apartment is like burning down. Rassi calls him and is like, hey, your apartment's on fire. Or somebody calls him.
Or somebody sees him. Yeah, somebody tells him somehow.
He gets the news. So he goes, his apartment is pretty charred. All his stupid little knickknacks are burnt. And the fire chief is like walking around and he's like, you shouldn't smoke, you bastard. This is how fires start. And he's like, I don't smoke. And he's like, well, what are these? And he hands him that case of cigarettes, like, aha. And Gaspard is like, oh, I know who was in here. That's my weird neighbor, Rossi.
Yes.
But the fire people leave. He is like calling around in the apartment looking for Lula and she's hiding under a bed. Because she's so scared. And I think he slips on some pearls. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. He slips on a little pile of pearls. And I was like, well, that's weird. But in my brain, I was like, this is just this stupid movie.
Nothing makes sense, so why even connect it to anything?
Right, exactly. But they you know, console each other. He gets his gramophone recording thing. They can record.
Well, Lula is the one that lit the apartment on fire.
Oh yeah, she was poorly smoking. She did a bad
job. She found this, I guess Rossi left all her cigarettes there and Lula was like, that looks like fun. And so she lights up a cigarette and puts it to her mouth and immediately is like, bleh! And drops the cigarette and a bottle of perfume.
Yes.
And the whole place explodes.
Yeah, she knocked over a bottle of perfume that Rossi opened and said, oh, that smells terrible. And she just left it uncapped on the side of the tub. The tub was cute. I did like that.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah.
Clawfoot tub.
Mm-hmm. It's like tiled into the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all Rossi and Lula's fault that the apartment's on fire. I think he takes Lula over to Rossi's apartment to use her tub. And Rossi's like, yeah, that's fair. I did burn down your apartment, or I led to that.
Did they tell her she's a mermaid at that point?
I don't know.
I don't remember how Rossi finds out.
I think she is just like, oh, Yeah, no, she's
because why else would she need to be in the water? You know,
Look, holding on to threads of this story is like trying to spin 18 novelty Disney plates from McDonald's. Like,
yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and there's a lot of colors.
Yep.
Anyway,
so the sound booth.
Yeah, they fall in love because they're like, wow, we're just so incompatible and we're creatures who can't know love. But look at us falling in love. And
we bond over singing.
They love to sing together because he is a musician and she is a mermaid. And they make a dumb record with a ukulele and they do a duet and it's a bad song.
It's really bad. Like, the poor voice actors sing it bad.
Yeah. Well, and they had to, like, change the lyrics to fit the English.
Right. You got to translate the lyrics so, like, the lyrics fit weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sound balance is weird, so.
Yeah. It's all a very cringy time.
Yeah.
But she's, like, sitting on his lap with her mermaid tail. They decide that they're going to go out on a date. And then he has to return her to the ocean, otherwise she'll die.
Yeah, she tells him, like, when he picks her up or something, like, if I don't get back to the ocean in, like, 2 nights, I'm gonna die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, but let me just draw this out as long as I can.
Yeah, he's an what if we asshole. Just hung out? Yeah, what if, like...
What if he just stayed over?
I don't get his motive.
Can't you stay over?
I mean, I guess it's that he's falling in love with her, but he... doesn't
sucks.
Think he can fall in love. I don't know. I don't get it.
Oh boy. Yeah, he's the worst though. So they get ready for a night out on the Flower Big Ale, and he gets ready. Rossi helps her with her hair and makeup. She ends up wearing this really pretty green dress. I liked her hair. I liked her makeup. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was very like 40s, 50s.
Yeah. She had giant, like, hairpin curls.
Yeah, victory rolls.
That's it. That's the one.
They're very cute. They like a red lip.
They were as big as her face, though.
They were very tall. Rossi did her hair, and that woman don't skimp.
No, she does not. The red lip looked really good on her, though.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out to the Flower Burger, and the dad is like, oh, you're on a date. And
a lady.
Oh my gosh, you brought a lady. And they give her a wheelchair to go around in, which I liked. I was like, nice, nice. They're not gonna, you know, skip this leg thing, you know?
Yeah.
So she's they're hanging out at dinner, and the doctor has figured out that to find the owner of the book, she needs to go to this weird barge. So she goes and she's starting to eat dinner upstairs, and she keeps reading from the book, and the waitress overhears her say the secret code phrase from the book. That's the password to, like, get to the secret club underneath. So she finds the club. She sees Lula and Gaspard.
I don't think I put that together.
Oh.
That's how that happened.
Yeah, it's weird, though. Like, the waitress...
Things happen in this movie, and they happen in an order, but I don't know if it's a plot, you know?
I don't think it is. It's weird. It's very weird. She goes down there. I think she confronts them as they're all leaving the Flower Burger, and she's like... You're a bad person and a mermaid, and you're murdering people, and I'm going to come get you. Wait, no, she doesn't do that yet. Right?
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, my God.
The plot is lost to me at this point.
It truly is. So they're on the boat. They're off the boat. At some point, they go to an aquarium because Gaspard has recaptured his surpriser spirit, and he's falling in love. And she keeps telling him, like, hey, man, it's time for me to go. And he's like, okay, but wait. But, like, what if we did one more thing? And I hated him. I'm like, nobody's listening to her.
Yup.
Uh-huh. So he takes her to his apartment where he has put together just a series of panels that describe a scene. It's like a diorama in his window.
Well, don't they go to the aquarium before they go home, though?
I thought they went to the aquarium afterwards because she cries those pearl tears in the tub.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Continue then.
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, my gosh. So he's like, ta-da. I moved all of these panels. Look at my artistic vision.
Yeah, it's like this elaborate, like layers of sets that move back and forth to look like waves, and like a big giant fish swims through. It's like, and it's in like an 8 by 8 foot square space, like set into his wall. Did he do that for her? Did it just exist and he just wanted to show her? No one knows.
Nobody knows. Well, and for a split second when he was doing that, I thought they were back at the Flower Burger and it was a set at the Flower Burger?
That would make more sense.
That's not what we're going for in this movie, though.
No.
Oh, boy. They do end up going to an aquarium, and they swim together in the aquarium, and they do a kiss because they're in love now. And maybe, I know at one point when they're in their apartment, she sends him away to go get her some fish. And she tells Rossi, like, Rossi, I have to leave him, which is why I've been crying these pearl stop motion animated tears. Which
stop I thought motion was, pearl tears.
It was great.
They were so funny.
It was cute. I liked that.
It was really cute. But again, it didn't make sense. Mm-mm. I liked it, but I did. I don't know. I don't know how I feel anymore. This movie has gaslit me. I don't know how to feel.
Here's the thing. I hated the whole movie except for the effects of the mermaid and how they styled the mermaid.
Yeah.
Everything else I could have done without. At some point, Rossi is like, hey, watch out. This doctor is kind of going to come get you. And she's not going to let you leave with the mermaid, Lula. And Gaspard's like, not on my life, because now I love her and stuff. So I'm not just going to take her to the Seine. I'm going to take her even further than the Seine. And I was like, why?
Literally.
Literally why? Because guess what? Once she's in the Seine, she can just keep swimming underwater. It's not like the doctor could go get her.
No. God, he's an idiot. He's also like, his health is slowly declining as he's falling in love with her.
Yeah, his heartbeat starts to get faster and he starts having fainting spells. And she's like,
he's like, I'm fine.
He's like, don't worry about it, I'm fine. And she's like, no, you're dying. And she's also dying. So they're bad for each other.
Yeah.
So he ends up driving her in the little scooter with a wagon attached. No, it's the bathtub.
Yep.
He puts the bathtub on a little cart.
No water. Just a bathtub.
I don't think there was water in it, because how would it have stayed full?
Sure wasn't.
Oh, boy. So they're
And he gets, like, walkie-talkies.
Yes.
So they can talk to each other during the drive.
Because
it's even
quirky.
Though she's dying.
Yeah. They're both dying. But he stops for walkie-talkies.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And he, like, stops and explains to her how it works, which I could have done without that. Like, I don't need to see her learn that. She's smart, okay?
No. Yeah.
So he takes her to the grossest looking coast that I've ever seen.
Swampy ass beach.
He starts wading into the water to, like, take her to the ocean. And I was like, is this fresh water? Is he?
Yeah, it's like brown and there's reeds growing up. It's like so weird.
It's so bad. And then it cuts to like a shot of the water with the skyline. And I was like, okay, it is an ocean or a really,
sure.
really, really big lake.
Okay.
Sure. But he takes her to the water. He like kind of passes out in the water. The doctor's hot on their trail. Mermaid swims away. She says, goodbye, goodbye, I love you. And he's like, I love you too. And the doctor yeah, pretty much. The doctor goes and finds him in the water and she's reminded of her lover who died. So she decides to drag him to shore and perform CPR. For me, it could have been just like, you know, this is your like Hippocratic oath or whatever.
Right. Like, you have to save him.
Right? Like, if you could.
You can't let him die.
Ugh. So, right? Anyway. So she saves him. He goes back to his apartment. He's very sad. He gets a call from the laboratory tech from the hospital who tells him, wow, these are all 100% mother of pearl pearls. And they're also inlaid with gold and silver. And I sent them all back to you because I thought that would be the right thing to do.
Where did he get those?
I think. Do we know? I want to say the fire people sent them in?
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. The technician and the doctor go to the apartment at some point.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. They're snooping around.
That's right. That's right. So I think he found them in the apartment when they were snooping.
Okay.
So he's like, I 100% sent them all back to you because that's what she would have wanted. And I was like, no way, dude. He kept a little vial of those pearls for sure.
Yeah, for real. At least one.
He should have.
Yeah.
So Gaspard's holding this little vial of pearls and he goes to his dad and he's like, I'm going to buy the flower, big ale. And his dad's like, great, cool. I can move on. And Gaspard takes the barge and his cat into the ocean to go and search for Lula. The end.
Ta-da! He sails into the ocean.
What the fuck?
And then there's claymation animation of him sailing into the ocean and Lula swimming around in the ocean around him.
At that point, I was like, I was so over it. I was just like, how dare you give me more animation at this point?
Yup.
Like, you don't deserve it. You've used this animation as trickery.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, what would you rate this film?
I'm going to have to agree with the general French public. I'm going to go with a 2.5.
Oh.
I think. Because, like, it had all the elements of something I should enjoy.
Maybe if we watched it in French.
I'm sure that would help a lot. That would solve a lot of the weird,
I don't think it would, not connecting with them, probably.
I don't know.
I'll try it again.
Yeah. Like, French with subtitles, I was hoping is how it was going to be, but it wasn't.
No, it was not. I wonder if there is a way for us to watch the French version. I knew I should have, like, looked into that first, because if you had watched the English and I had watched the French, maybe we'd have wildly different opinions.
Maybe. What about you?
It's like a 1 star for me. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. I was thinking 1.5 stars because I liked the mermaid stuff that they did for the mermaid so much. But like, it wasn't painful to watch, but I was in pain. I didn't like it at all.
That's fair. I'll drop mine down to a 2.
You don't have to change yours at all. That's fine. So 1.5 stars is my final ranking. You don't need to change yours. I think a 2.5 is very fair.
2.25.
A 2.25.
Where I'll land.
Just a dollop.
Yeah.
I did not like it. It had bad singing, which I can't handle. It had a bad love story, which I can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
It was quirky for quirkiness's sake, which I am over at this point in my life. If I was like, what, 12 or 13, maybe even 15, somewhere in that range, I'd probably be like, wow, this is my new personality.
Yeah, this would have enveloped our whole lives if we would have seen it then.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's giving Time Bandits.
Oh, okay.
Just a little, like that weird.
I haven't watched that in a while.
That weird, weird plot. Like, is it a plot? The effects are kind of fine, but what's happening? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has that like unknowable energy that a time bandit has.
Yeah, for sure. What about your mermaid scale?
Oh, you know what? Kudos. She was a mermaid the whole time. Like, yeah. And we saw her tail a lot, and she bled blue blood, just like those crabs. What are they called?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't remember. They're cool. They use their blood for like fancy stuff. My mermaid scale is going to be like 6, maybe 7 out of 10.
Oh,
I know. Okay. I really liked the mermaid stuff, and I liked how they made her cry pearls. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think I'm going to have to go. I was thinking 8 out of 10 Ooh. On the mermaid scale, man.
I respect it. I respect it.
We get introduced to her very quickly within the movie. Mm. Like, she sings very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we know she exists. And then a couple scenes later, boom, she's on the shore. We're seeing her tail. Boom. Her mm-hmm. tail also lights up, by the way. We didn't talk about that.
That's right.
There's like LEDs in her fluke that light up kind of randomly. I was confused. But they're very pretty.
It was like when she's singing, right? Or when she's feeling emotion?
Maybe.
Kinda? I don't know.
Like, I was trying to figure out if it was related to her powers, but like, a lot of times when they were driving around in the cart, it would just happen. I don't know.
I think it happened when she was falling in love.
Sure.
I don't know. But yeah, I liked that too. I actually forgot about it. Oh, and I liked that we saw her nipples. I thought that
we did see her boobies.
Yep. I thought that was brave. And I was like, good job, movie. So,
yeah,
you know what?
They were floating around in the shark tank.
I think I am going to bring it up to an 8.
Wow.
For the titties. It's an 8. For, it's an 8 because it looks like boobs. Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. What a journey. This is definitely a mermaid movie that you can skip.
Yeah, we don't recommend this one, guys.
I mean, unless you like want to watch it super high or something,
that would probably help.
Maybe. I've no.
Or be more confusing. I don't know.
More confusing and also scary? Question mark.
Yeah. Just don't watch it.
Nah, there are better ones out there.
Yeah, I didn't know there were mermaid movies that we would not recommend, but we've been finding them.
I did know this would happen, but only because I have already watched some that I wouldn't recommend.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's that horror movie that I want us to watch that's about a mermaid.
Yes.
I would not recommend it.
Oh.
I'm excited, though. I think that'll be a fun one to review. Oh, okay. Boy. So, I need an ocean fact to soothe me.
Please.
This week's ocean fact is about the existence of a pair of adult male orcas who have been preying on great white sharks off the coast of South Africa. The duo are identified as having rare and distinct collapsed dorsal fins. And they're named for nautical terms, so port and starboard. Port's fins collapsed on the left, and starboard's fin collapsed on the right. They are part of the distinctive flat-toothed ecotype present in orcas in South Africa. And they have been preying on sharks' livers. And that's it. Just the liver.
Yup. It's so creepy.
They're serial killers.
Yes. Like, I've heard that, like, with almost surgical precision, they are biting the livers out of these sharks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to say surgical for a fish is probably, like, the animal is not torn to shreds.
Right. I mean, they're just biting where the liver is.
Exactly. Exactly. So, part of how people are theorizing that they're doing this examining the carcasses reveal that the orcas open the sharks between their pectoral fins in order to remove the fatty liver, and they probably flip the shark over to induce tonic immobility in order to do this without the shark fighting back. Which is fucked up that they know how to do that and can replicate it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's so wild. Like, this is like a newer-ish behavior that we haven't really seen a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild, honestly.
Yeah. Like, they're killing like 17 sharks a day. Like, it's stupid.
On the 24th of February, at least 17 seven-gill sharks were attacked and killed off of the coast by the two orcas. All of the livers had been precisely removed and consumed in the same manner as the previous attacks. They have been attacking copper sharks and doing the same, like, MO. And after the attack, white sharks in the area fled for at least 7 weeks.
Smart.
Right?
As they should.
So messed up. Oh, boy. Usually you see the, like, floppy orca fin when they're in captivity. So I saw some people theorizing that the orcas used to live in captivity and then they, like, escaped. And this is just the first thing that they learned how to kill and eat on their own. Mm-hmm. But that type, like, a floppy fin can happen in the wild. I think it's a little more rare, but it's, yeah, it's messed up. Just as messed up as this movie.
Yeah.
I would love if they taught other orcas how to do this, though. I think that would be crazy.
Yeah, if it just becomes, like, the norm.
Oh, my God. That would be so nuts.
I feel like that would be devastating for the shark population.
It would. It really would. Because, like, sharks need to be around. They're a keystone predator species. They help maintain populations.
Like, at some point, I wonder, are humans going to intervene and, like, kill these two orcas because they're going to fuck everything up?
I mean, it might not be a bad idea, but I guess we'll see. Because if they spread the behavior, I feel like that would be really, really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, and they're theorized to be older males. They had a transient lifestyle before they decided to hunt sharks on the coast of South Africa. I think these orcas are gay and married and they just like to eat sure. Well. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Only the best of fatty livers.
Only the best. It has been documented that orcas will ram into great white sharks in order to flip them over and induce that catatonic state. So it's not like the first time we've ever seen that happen, but it's just weird. It's weird.
Yeah, the repetitive nature. On that note.
Can't wait to dive in again for another, hopefully better mermaid movie. It's time for us to go back into the ocean. I've been Audrey.
I've been Ash.
Here I go. Splash.
Splash. Splash.
Bye.
Bye.